Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
It's done. The goal of the year, part of the past, the celebrations, forgotten, the history,
Vegas Golden Knights.
History, we're back to a blank slate, clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome to Solo Ship Week 10. I'm Squirrel Patrol. I'm joined by Jam DeWin from One Week Season. Jam, we are hoping for an injury-free show this week. As last week, people might not know that the show got canceled about 3 minutes into the recording. My wife fell down, broke her wrist, had to go to the hospital, but she's
not funny, but it is funny. It is.
Yeah,
funny.
She's doing pretty good, all things considered. So ready to talk some football for this week. We got a 10-game slate. Becoming a pattern, a lot of the top teams are not on the slate, but we do have some higher implied point totals for once. A few teams over 25 and one team over 28, in fact, with Dallas, but that is a 17-point spread facing the Giants.
Yeah, and obviously it's because it's nothing against implied team totals and over-unders. It's just that I'm so deep into the research and the teams that I have a sense of whether a game will be close or high scoring or low scoring without looking at that stuff. So that's not a big part of my process. But in fact, I don't typically know how many games have X over-unders until I get on my Friday shows with you and Pete Overzet. But this is a week where not only do we have kind of some higher total games, but it's games, you and I have talked about this on the show, where every over-under tells a different story, right? Some are going to have like a tight range of outcomes around that over-under. Some are going to have a broad range of outcomes. This is a week where some of these games have a broad range of outcomes, and even one or two of the lower total games have broad ranges of outcomes, to where there's 5-6 different spots this week that could end up, with two teams scoring 30 plus points or a team scoring 30 plus points. So the game with, I think it Overzet said it was four games of 45 or more points, maybe 44 and a half or more points. Like, that doesn't even tell the full story, because the full story is this is a week where these higher total games could end up being really interesting. And on top of that, I don't see that many strong one-off plays this week. So it's like a great week to really build around game environments and de-emphasize one-off plays and really focus on the other side of the coin.
Yeah, actually, I agree with you. I think there's a number of different games that I could see going like way over the total, right? Like, and some of them might even just have like a 40-something, 40, low 40s point total, but I could see it going much higher. I think there's one game that's going to get a lot of ownership. I think it's the Cincinnati-Houston game. I think T. Higgins is being out, and now I think Nico Collins is out as well. Damian Pierce is out. And so that creates a little bit of a bump for the remaining players in that game. But I think it might draw like outsized ownership, because I think Joe Burrow is going to be the highest owned quarterback. I think Ja'Marr Chase is going to be very popular, assuming he plays. He's questionable as well. I think Joe Mixon's always projects well. He's got like a high median you know, projection. Not a guy I love playing. But then again, sometimes they'll just pour in five touchdowns and nuke the week. So
sometimes. That's the
first game I wanted to get your thoughts on. Like, do you see that as like the primary place to go for you this
week? No. Mixon's almost never on my list. He's on my list this week because, the running backs who probably get you 13 to 16 and could get you 25, like, that's kind of all the running backs this week. There's nobody who really separates and really there could be no running back on this slate who goes for 4X his DraftKings salary. Like, quite literally, that could end up being the case. So Mixon's on my list, not because he's just like a standout play, but because of just what this slate provides. I'll have some Burrow. I do kind of think people will be nervous about Chase because of the back thing. I'm not as nervous because it's not a muscle issue, which, you know, then you have like that tightened up, locked up back. It's a deep bruise, which is obviously very painful, but once you get whatever, you know, pain injection or whatever, you go out there and play through it. It's not an issue where like the back's going to seize up and you can't play the rest of the game. Already when I started this week, like, two things that I highlighted in my mind was that before looking at what anyone else was saying, it was like, oh, people are going to really overrate this spot for Houston. And people are going to probably overrate this spot for Dak and the Cowboys passing attack, where, you know, not to talk it down, but just to say that, like, you know, you dominate that game, you're probably not throwing the ball 35 or 40 times, right? And it was like Dak and CeeDee Lamb coming off back-to-back big games. And I'll put it like this, like, CeeDee Lamb was in 77% of my rosters last week, right? And he'll be in sub 5% this week or sub 10% this week. Like, it's like I'm willing to go to CeeDee Lamb when the situation calls for it. But I think that after back-to-back big games, the field will be like, oh, the Cowboys. And then after Houston put up this huge game last week, 95% of the field missed out on it because Stroud was only 5% owned. It's a spot where it's like, oh, let me go here. I mean, Houston opened as a 19.5 implied team total, and it's up to 20.25. You know, it's not the Bengals defense is really, really good. Stroud has, you know, you go through his game logs and it's like a 25 pointer in week two against a bad Indianapolis pass defense, a 24 pointer against a Pittsburgh pass defense that was struggling at the time, a 20 pointer against Jacksonville, and that's it, right? Like, everything else is below that. And so even at 25 points, if you put that up at his price tag, that doesn't really do much for you. So yeah, just that recency bias of, and none of this is to say that he can't hit in this matchup. It's just to say that the field's definitely going to overrate the chances of this game shooting out and of Stroud having a big game. When really the Bengals might pound for pound be the best team in the NFL right now. It's not a great spot for Houston and not the spot that's really drawing my eye.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think I'm probably going to spread out my ownership among a few remaining games that I think can go over the point total. And like, if I make like six, like single entry kind of rosters, you know, to spread out among my single entry lineups, I might have like one Bengals stack, like, and I'll try to get different with this game somehow. Maybe that would be a lineup that I avoid the Dallas defense, because actually I do think that the Dallas defense could see really high ownership this week facing the Giants. That's one of my favorite places to get different, right? Because I say it's like just basically a random score that's not really that correlated with the team's actual defensive performance. But this week, I don't know, I'm having a harder time than I usually do getting away from the chalk defense. Tommy DeVito's already taken like 8 sacks playing less than one game. That's one of the things that I think I probably am going to end up with a lot of Tony Pollard and Dallas defense kind of mini stacks or whatever. I know it's going to be high owned, but I'm probably not going to get away from it, because I think that there's more kind of certainty around that defense being the top defense on the slate than there usually is for the highest owned defense.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing on paper that says don't play the Dallas defense. The only thing it says it is like our experience of how many times everyone's like, oh, well, this defense is can't miss. And, you know, then they put up 8 points or 9 points or 12 points. So I certainly have some fear of that. I'm not sure yet where I'll land on Cowboys defense, because what's interesting is a lot of the other attractive defenses are kind of in the same price range. Like, you know, the Steelers, Jordan Love's been really generous to defenses. The game's in Pittsburgh. Steelers defense is really rounded into form, coming in with super low ownership projections, but they're only 600 less than the Cowboys. So then there's this fear of like, well, what if the Steelers put up 9 points and the Cowboys put up 17, you know? But you flip it around, it's like, well, what if the Steelers put up 17 and the Cowboys put up 11, 12? So Yeah, defense is an interesting spot this week. Definitely, I mean, probably not the place to spend a ton of time on, but yeah, that Cowboys defense looks so good on paper. We just know from experience how often those defenses that everybody's on and look so good on paper end up failing. So yeah, I do like the idea of going different at defense if you're going to do like a really popular stack for sure.
So one other place, and a team that's starting to get ownership, I think it might be increasing as we, you know, go today and go through the weekend, Arizona, getting Kyler Murray back, and they might get James Conner back as well. And like Trey McBride is still pretty low priced. Marquise Brown is pretty low priced. Suddenly this is an offense that doesn't look as bad as it has. Make it say started Clayton Tune at quarterback last week and put up less than 100 yards offense. Might've been like less than 50.
That sounds such a joke.
Yeah. Any thoughts on Arizona? Like, how do you judge like a team like this that's going to have a new quarterback coming back from injury, the starting running back coming back from injury? Any thoughts on Arizona?
Yeah, I think Arizona is interesting. They're kind of in like the number 3-4 team stack range on my list, and there's plenty of unknowns. But in terms of, you know, Kyler had, I'll put it like this: let's take how many times a quarterback in this like 6K price range has gone for 24 plus DraftKings points. Okay. So 4X around 4X their salary. Geno Smith in his last 25 games. So since he took over as the starter, he's done it 5 times. So since the start of last year, he's done it 5 times. Kyler Murray did it 4 times in 10 games last year. And that was like his worst season, you know, as a starter. So just in terms of what Kyler Murray can bring to the table, obviously, will it surprise us if there's rust? No, it's a new system. It's his first game in a year. So that won't surprise us if he has like kind of an underwhelming game, but it also won't surprise us if he has a big game. So it's kind of one of the, like I said, to me, this is a game stack week. And so I'm not necessarily overthinking things. It's like Kyler's in the bucket. I don't need to worry too much about what the downside is, because the downside, we can clearly paint it, but also the upside's there. You know, Hollywood played 7 games with Kyler last year, had double digit DraftKings points in all 7. Had 20 plus in 3 of those 7, had 31 in one of those. We know that Kyler has leaned on the tight end in this offense. And then Michael Wilson, you know, if he doesn't come back, then Hollywood and Trey McBride, like the ownership is really warranted on those guys. And you can't run against Atlanta either. You know, they're one of the best run defenses in football. If Michael Wilson comes back, then he becomes a really interesting way to maybe potentially get a little bit different if people aren't on him as much as they should be. But no, definitely on this Arizona offense. And I think what's more interesting is to not just play the offense, but to think about what that means for the game environment, because we know that the Falcons are capable of scoring points if things trend that way, and the Cardinals are capable of giving up points. So it could actually become a really interesting game environment overall.
I'm interested to see, you know, if this is the week maybe that Atlanta opens things up a little bit. I think like Bijan Robinson is interesting, and I think like Drake London is interesting. It'll be interesting to see like how Drake London does with a quarterback that's not Desmond Ridder. And you know, Taylor Heineke can throw a little bit more than Ridder. So that's I think it, you know, that's one of the games that I'm interested in stacking. Speaking of Arizona and their quarterbacks, hot takes. Do you have a hot take for the week?
Why don't you go first? I'm sure I have plenty of hot takes, but why don't you go first?
All right, so my hot take, a guy that I want to, you know, distinctly be over the field on. I don't always have guys like this, like, oh, I don't know why this guy is not being owned more. But my hot take is just that for the third week in a row, Joshua Dobbs throws for 2 touchdowns and rushes 1 more. This is a guy that's got more average rushing yards per game than Jalen Hurts, more passing touchdowns per game than Lamar Jackson. Last week, like, came in, wasn't expected to be, I don't even know if he had a uniform. And, you know, and like, yeah, didn't know his teammates' names, didn't know the pass routes. I mean, you guys did a great write-up in the 1 week season write-up for this week's game, talking about how little Joshua Dobbs had to go on, you know, going into his first game in Minnesota and was not expected to be the starter. I don't know. Like, this guy seems to be putting up rushing yards. He seems to be like directing the offense. They have a low implied point total, a low point total game. The Saints defense isn't, you know, necessarily a defense you think is going to shoot out, but it is an indoor environment. I think it's a game that could go over its point total. So it's going to be a game that I'm over the field on.
I think it's very interesting. My hot take will be that there will not be any Christian McCaffrey naked rosters that win a tournament this week, as in, you know, Christian McCaffrey with no other pieces from the 49ers, no other pieces from that game, which is how most people play him, right? They play Christian McCaffrey as a one-off. I'll say that there will be no Christian McCaffrey one-off rosters at the tops of tournaments.
Do you think that's just a price thing? Like, he just can't pay off the price, or he's just not high?
No, so it's kind of how this offense functions, you know? So I was talking about this earlier, but the Christian McCaffrey doesn't have the role that he had with the Panthers, right? He's not succeeding on role. Whereas with the Panthers, it was like, this guy gets 10 to 14 targets, right? He's averaging, I think it's 4.6 targets per game and 17.1 carries per game. That's like, you know, not too far off Bijan Robinson's usage. It's just like three more carries per game than Bijan Robinson, half a target less per game than Bijan Robinson's. Like, so where Christian McCaffrey gets there is all the touchdowns. And in order for him to score all the touchdowns, the 49ers offense typically has to be doing well. So far this year, McCaffrey has three games where he's cracked 26 points. In all three of those games, Purdy plus a San Francisco pass catcher was like one of the top ways to play tournaments that week. So in other words, a way to get different is, yeah, Christian McCaffrey will draw ownership, but every time Christian McCaffrey actually hits for a score that you need from him, Purdy plus a pass catcher is probably also hitting. So sharpest way to play it is not McCaffrey solo, but McCaffrey plus Purdy plus pass catcher, which is I'll be doing a lot of that this week to differentiate.
It's interesting. At the beginning of the season, I never would have thought somebody would say, like, that's the usage that Bijan Robinson gets as like a downside, right? that's the Arthur Smith Falcons for you.
I definitely would have expected that.
So one game that I'm not seeing a lot of people talk about, if you look at projected ownership, not projected to be that highly owned, trying to figure it out why, like, kind of nobody's on this game, but Lions and Chargers. The Chargers defense, it's maybe talent-wise not as bad as it, it's got more talent than it's appeared to, display so far this year. They've just allowed some big games. I'm interested why, like, people aren't as high on the Lions as I would expect them to be.
I mean, I noticed that Jameson Williams is like projected for sub 0.5% ownership. I hadn't really spotted that. I don't look at ownership till Friday morning. My wife was dealing with a migraine this morning, so I had both kids while I was kind of trying to look at some stuff. But I looked at ownership this morning, didn't really notice that people were down on that game. But currently for me, it's like Purdy at the top just because of San Francisco offense, and then followed by Sam Howell. And then after that, it's like kind of this Goff and Kyler, in the same range as far as how I'm valuing them, how much I want to have of them. So yeah, Goff is in that like top 3-4 quarterback range for me, definitely a game environment I want to be attacking. And I think that what's interesting about Goff is when he hits, Amon-Ra St. Brown, like going back to the start of last year, it's only been about half the time that Amon-Ra St. Brown has been the one that is hit. So there's a lot, I'll dig into this in the player grid on OWS. There's a lot of reasons to think that it will be Amon-Ra St. Brown this week if Goff hits, just given the way that the Chargers defense is structured, the way teams attack them. But at the same time, like, it gives that opportunity to say, yeah, I'll have some Goff and Amon-Ra St. Brown. More than 50% of my Goff will be Amon-Ra St. Brown, but like also some Goff and Reynolds, some Goff and Jameson Williams, some Goff and Laporta. I think there's some fun ways you can go there. And then you get really low ownership. On top of that, Detroit does not allow like a large number of targets to first reads. They tend to take away alpha receivers, and they're really good against running backs. So that doesn't leave the Chargers with a lot. And Quentin Johnston's on the field every snap. Last time that Justin Herbert threw 40 plus passes, he saw 6 targets in that game. So I kind of expect Quentin Johnston to be in this 5 to 8 target range, and nobody's going to be on him either. So yeah, I mean, not only is that game interesting, but I think there's some, I mean, you can get just super low ownership in that game by playing it pretty intelligently.
Yeah, I think people might use some one-offs. Like, I think you'll see some Amon-Ra St. Brown as a one-off. But I think it's a game you could game stack, right? Like Lions versus Chargers, that's a game that could absolutely go off. And there's not going to be a lot of ownership on like Austin Eckler or Keenan Allen. Like Eckler in particular has been kind of too highly priced for playing with Keenan Allen, right? He doesn't like pile up those receptions when Keenan Allen is also playing. But if that's a game that goes way, way over its total, like, I think you could play either side of that game, just mixing and matching the different pieces. And it's a game that could go off. So like, I think for single entry, I think you can, you know, play either quarterback, probably more interested in Goff. And then you could take either of the high priced wide receivers, mix in a running back or Laporta, I guess. That's, I think, you know, tight end, you know, is always a place you can get different and add a piece from the game stack. So that's a game I'm going to be, I think, probably over the field on. I'm really interested. You didn't mention Geno Smith as one of the quarterbacks you're interested in. He's facing the Commanders defense. And I was looking up, he's the 14th out of the 20 quarterbacks. He's the 14th most expensive on FanDuel. I think only like the eighth most expensive on DraftKings. Any interest in Geno Smith and the Seahawks facing the Commanders?
I mean, I'll have some Geno because I'll have a lot of Howell. You know, Geno, I already mentioned this, but since the start of last year, he's topped 24 points only five times. And we know, I mean, if you've been around me for any length of time, like I've hammered it for half a decade now, of the only time to play Seattle passing attack is if they're being pushed by the opponent. And so in other words, if Geno's having a big game, it's probably because the Commanders are putting up a lot of points. The Commanders, one of the highest pass rate over expectations in the NFL. So if the Commanders are putting up a lot of points, Howell has a pretty good shot at putting up a lot of points. So yeah, I would imagine that if Geno has a good game, the 80% of the time that Geno has a good game, Howell's having a better game in this spot. So kind of like my exposure will be biased heavily toward Howell. And then I'll have a lot of Purdy, and that's where I'll go in single entry. But in MME, like I'll have some Trevor Lawrence just because I have so much Purdy. So I want to account for how else that game could come together. Same thing here where Geno, I'll have some Geno to account for how else this game could come together. Interesting, you know, I did see this morning, like Geno coming in as one of the highest projected owned quarterbacks, but DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, like not getting much love, which I don't know how the field expects that to play out to where Geno's putting up a tournament winner, but his wide receivers aren't. Nothing against Geno. I just think that given the structure, philosophical structure of this Seattle team, if Geno's hitting, it probably means that Howell is hitting for a higher score.
That's interesting. So Howell's a little bit more expensive, I think, on both sites. But there's an argument that
Howell's 100 more on DraftKings. I think he's like 59 and Geno's 58. So, basically the same.
Yeah, basically the same. He's a little bit more expensive. But, yeah, there's an argument that if the game is going to hit its, like, ceiling outcome, it's got to be Washington-driven, not Seattle-driven. So go for the guy that's kind of driving the scoring there. It's an interesting way to play the game. I noticed the same thing with the Seattle wide receiver ownership. I do think that Jackson Smith and Jigba is getting some ownership, but it's strange. You don't see the quarterback having like the second highest ownership projection or whatever on the week, and him having like two pretty big name wide receivers, and those wide receivers aren't getting any ownership. My thought process there was that Geno might end up with a lot less ownership. And so then that was making me more interested in him just because if that game hits, then, you know, there's less people that have a full game stack. But again, I don't think it's a game a lot of people are going to go to. I think when you run like some optimal lineups using like different projections, the game just pops off everywhere. It's that Cincinnati-Houston game. And so like I'm interested in, I think it's a great week to game stack other games. Because other than the injury situations, which probably don't affect things like too much, there's nothing about that game in particular that like makes us think that's going to be the highest point total game of the week. So I think it's a great week to stack some other games. One quarterback I wanted to get your thoughts on is the guy from Tennessee, Will Levis, because I think he's going to probably be under-owned, but I don't know a lot about him. But I do think like there's maybe a connection there with DeAndre Hopkins. And so that's a game or stack between quarterback and wide receiver that I might want to be over the field on.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not a big college guy. You're not a big college guy. But I do all my catch up and prep in the late summer. Like there were a lot of sharp people who had Levis as their number two quarterback entering the draft. You know, it was kind of a surprise that he slid to the second round. And then this narrative built up around him of like, well, he couldn't even beat out Malik Willis in the summer. Like clearly he like deserved to slide in the draft, but it's like, this is a guy who has the tools to like, you know, like a lot of, like some of the PFF people had him, you know, Bryce Young and then Will Levis and then CJ Stroud. It's like, so he's up there in that mix in terms of tools and arm talent and all that. So yeah, and he's played, you know, he's played seven really good quarters and one bad quarter. I was very surprised to see him at, you know, sub 2% projected ownership on OWS this morning. I kind of thought that I would open the slate and it would be, you know, he'd be at like, you know, Friday morning is kind of like a little bit like Christmas. Like I open up to see, hey, what's everybody else thinking? And this is a weird week where it was like, like the field's kind of somewhat aligned in what I'm thinking, but also I'll be leaning a lot heavier into game stacks than the field will be doing. So there's my edge there. But no, Will Levis was one that I've been back and forth on. And then it pops up and you're like, well, sub 2% own, I'm definitely going to be overweight the field, right? It goes from like, if he's coming at 6% projected ownership, I might end up with none because I'm just kind of like, I don't know about him this week. But then you see him at 1.5%, you're like, well, I'll certainly get like 4%, maybe 6% of them. What's interesting here is like, I love attacking Tampa because anytime you get, like we always say, right? We want to turn the math in our favor. So anytime you take away one piece of guesswork, well, that's great. Like you're playing Tampa, passing volume is going to be there. The thing that's weird about Tennessee is they're one of the only teams in the NFL that their approach doesn't really change based on matchup. You know, like last week, CeeDee Lamb was on 77% of my rosters. It was the second time I've rostered CeeDee Lamb since the start of last year. He was on 77% of my rosters because you're playing Philly. And it's like, you know, Philly can score points and you can't run against him. Dallas is going to pass. We're going to focus on CeeDee Lamb. And so that's kind of the way I typically treat Tampa. But Tennessee is this rare team that they're like, we're playing Tampa. You can't run against him. Cool. We'll still run. So it's not like I see Tennessee just like tilting pass heavy in this spot the way you would with most teams in this matchup. But, you know, Will Levis is capable of putting up 300 yards and three touchdowns. So, no, I think he's very interesting this week.
Yeah, I think, Rashad White is maybe a natural bring back. And so it's a simple kind of game stack of, you know, Levis, DeAndre Hopkins, Rashad White, and then I might not be interested in too much else. Maybe, I guess, the Tampa wide receivers. You know, if I'm doing like kind of multi-entry build, and this might be more of a multi-entry than single entry thing where I want to be over the field on Tennessee, Tampa game stacks, but probably not for single entry. And then just mix and match like Rashad White with some amount of like Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, thinking they could always, you know, put up a high point total that you'll wish you had, or that you might even need to win a tournament, like to win a really large field tournament at lower ownership. Two more games that we haven't touched on at all. One of them is Cleveland and Baltimore. My favorite former, you know, quarterback, the guy that used to be my favorite quarterback before Joshua Dobbs in Lamar Jackson. you know, I guess the defense is just too good this year. I've got to move on. any thoughts on Cleveland, Baltimore? Do you think you'll find yourself going to this game at all, or are you beyond the defenses?
I don't think I'll find myself going to this game at all. And it's one of those where you look at it and you say, what are the teams with explosive players? What are the teams that could pop off unexpectedly? And that certainly falls into that bucket. I think you got to kind of make a decision. To me, it's like, am I willing to lose this week? Am I more willing to lose this week because Cleveland and Baltimore shot out and I didn't have it than I am to lose this week because I decided to take swings on Cleveland, Baltimore? I made a note to myself last night to have a little bit of Amari exposure, and what I wrote was Amari just to be sharp. In other words, like it is smart to, like, this dude scores 25 to 30 so frequently and nobody's ever on him, and he's their whole offense and through the air. So it's like, well, it is sharp to get a little exposure there. But I played around earlier in the week with maybe some Lamar, but no, I don't think I'm going to go there myself. What about you?
Probably not. Yeah, it pains me. This is a game that's got a lower point total that I have a real harder time seeing going way over the point total.
Yeah.
The defenses have just been so good. Maybe some Gus Edwards regret from from the last few games, but it's game log chasing. I probably just won't go there. And honestly, the Green Bay Pittsburgh game, which is the last game that we haven't touched on, you know, probably similar where I'm just not going to get a lot of pieces. Maybe a little bit more interest in that game with maybe some George Pickens narrative. Deontay Johnson always, you know, has a pretty good median projection, and he's a good wide receiver. And so if he does score a touchdown, he's a guy I could see paying off his price. And like, maybe that would be a one-off that I'd be interested in, you know, just because of the value or the perceived value. But any thoughts on Green Bay and Pittsburgh?
Every time I look at that game, it's like, oh, Dobbs could hit, Watson could hit, Jaden Reed could hit, like Pickens could hit, Deontay Johnson could hit, but it's not probable, right? Because both teams play very much the same way. I'm sure you've seen this stat, but Pittsburgh's the only team in NFL history that's been outgained in terms of yardage every game, and yet has a winning record. Like, and then we know that both teams kind of, you know, both teams are really bad in the first half. Both teams kind of play to just keep games close and wait for the opponent to make a mistake. So when you have two teams like that, neither team is going to put their foot on the gas pedal. You know, like if anything, they're getting pulled over for going too slow on the highway. So it's hard to see a shootout developing. And if a shootout doesn't develop, then you're really just saying, hey, this guy could hit, this guy could hit, this guy could hit. And so it's kind of weird because there are guys who could hit, but it's like if week in and week out you're filling up your player pool with just random shots like that, every once in a while you'll grab one that hits, but most of the time you're kind of bleeding out. This roster bleeds out, this roster bleeds out. You lose money over time, I think. So it's one that I keep looking at or have kept looking at, but realistically understanding these teams, there's not really paths to the game shooting out. So like you said, it's a one-off spot, and then you just say, you know, is it just guesswork to try to pick who the one-off is? Like, I'll definitely have some Deontay Johnson, and I'll definitely have some George Pickens, but like, I don't know that I'll have a lot of them. I don't know that they're definitely not guys I'm highlighting as core pieces of like my single entry three max pool. It's more just, I'm going to mix and match pieces around my game stacks, and those guys will be in the mix to be mixed and matched.
Yeah. Like, I could see if I end up with just that amount left over at wide receiver, I wouldn't have a problem taking Deontay Johnson. Other than that, I don't know that I'll get to this game. Maybe Aaron Jones, maybe especially on FanDuel.
Yeah, yeah. Aaron Jones it's kind of, you know, he had 20 carries and 6 targets last week. So you look at that and you're like, well, God, how do you not play this guy? But then also you zoom out and you're like, well, just because a guy had 20 carries and 6 targets, you know, he probably averages 14 carries and 4.5 targets the rest of the season. So it's not like he just comes out and gets the same workload, and the touchdown expectation is really low overall in this game. So then it's kind of like, you're kind of like, ooh, Aaron Jones. And then it's like, yeah, but what's the upside? So he kind of has to do it all on his own, really. He's definitely been kind of, he's on my list, but he's kind of been like moved around from like high portion of my running back pool to like low portion. He'll kind of probably end up in that middle range in terms of running back exposure.
Yeah, the game actually pains me a little bit because I like playing quarterbacks with good draft pedigree that people are down on, figuring that at some point they'll put it together, and I'd rather be ahead of it than behind it. Just lost patience with both Jordan Love and Kenny Pickett. I don't think it's necessarily even all them. It's just, the systems that they're in, you know, the head coaches. Like, yeah, it's a game they're not necessarily going to push, you know, the pace, push the scoring, unless they have to. So probably other than one, you know, those one-off pieces we discussed, maybe, you know, some George Pickett.
Speaking of draft pedigree, Will Levis would have been drafted over Kenny Pickett if they came out in the same draft class. So there's your Will Levis right there.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And then also, like, would I rather play Jordan Love and, you know, or Kenny Pickett or Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson, right?
Who yeah.
Who might also be about the same ownership. Like, I'd much rather play Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson, who I just said I have no interest in, you know, because of the defenses. It's tough to get to the Green Bay Pittsburgh game. That just about wraps it up. Any final thoughts on the week?
No, I mean, yes. I always say no, and then I say something. I think this is, you know, if you're watching this, How to Attack This Week, to me, it's very much if you're on OWS, you'll see it in my player grid. But my player grid is usually my blue chip plays, then my light blue chip plays, then my build arounds, which is like game stacks and team stacks, and then bonuses, which is like all the other one-offs. I don't have any blue chips this week. I don't have any light blue chips this week. And so it's just like my build arounds and my bonuses. And so I think this is the sort of week where you de-emphasize, you know, last week I was saying, we didn't get to say it on this show because of the injury timeout. But last week I was saying, like, take price tags off of players. Like, it was an important week because if people are like, oh, DeMario Douglas, Devin Singletary. And it's like, yeah, but also like, I'd rather overpay for a great play than underpay for a guy who might get you a decent score. This is a week where it's kind of like de-emphasize your focus on one-offs, elevate your emphasis on game stacks, and then kind of have your pieces that you mix and match in around those is at least the way that I'm approaching it, the way that I'm seeing, you know, the picture on the puzzle box this week. Curious if you have any thoughts on that before we get out.
No, I think that's good insight. It could be the winning ticket. for this week. But yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a good week to game stack, and I think it's a good week to get different. Like, I think, like, last week I was saying, you know, again, our unaired solo ship show, that, you know, I thought it was a good week to, you know, to get off the chalky quarterbacks. But, and I think that this week, like, you can go with an entire game stack that's different, even in single entry. Like, single entry, sometimes you want to stay somewhat within the confines of what's going to be highly owned. Like, this week, I think, you know, Cincinnati and Houston are going to be super highly owned. So if you're using that game stack, find a way to get different with it. If you're not, like, don't be afraid to go with a totally different game, whether it's, you know, like Seattle, Washington. You know, I'm going to be playing some Minnesota, New Orleans, maybe, just to get my Joshua Dobbs exposure. But yeah, you can go with a number of different game stack, you know, Detroit Chargers, and, you know, Washington, Seattle, and, you know, even use that in single entry without fearing that you're, like, you know, playing something that's just not plausible.
100%. Yeah. I mean, like, my single entry quarterbacks, my single entry three max are going to be primarily Purdy, Goff, and Howell. So if that's off the board, it's not because I'm trying to be off the board. It's just because that's what I think is the best way to approach it. And then you're like, oh, bonus, it's going to be off the board. So you can lean into that a little bit more. And there's, you know, other quarterbacks in those games, or the Kyler approach, or, you know, there's other things besides that Houston Cincinnati game. And nothing against that game, but and anything can happen, but definitely not like the clearest path to first place this week. So yeah, love weeks like that where what the field is on is not necessarily what I'm on, and get a little bit different without trying to.
Yeah. All right. That'll do it for week 10 of Solo Ship. Good luck to everybody. We'll see you guys next week.